Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
The first reading is from Deuteronomy 30, 15 to 20. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today, by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways and observing his commandments and decrees and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish, and you shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him and holding fast to him, for that means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to give it to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm is Psalm 1. We will read it responsibly. Happy are they who have not walked in the counsel of the wicked, nor lingered in the way of the sinners, nor sat in the seats of the scornful.
Their delight is in the law of the Lord, and they meditate on God's teaching day and night.
They are like trees planted by streams of water, bearing fruit in due season, with leaves that do not wither. Everything they do shall prosper.
It is not so with the wicked. They are like chaff which the wind blows away.
Therefore the wicked shall not stand upright when judgment comes, nor the sinner in the counsel of the righteous.
For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked shall be destroyed.
The second reading is from Philemon 1 through 21. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and co-worker, to Apphia, our sister, to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. When I remember you in my prayers, I also thank my God, because I hear of your love for all the saints and your faith toward the Lord Jesus. I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective when you perceive all the good that we may do for Christ. I have indeed received much joy and encouragement from your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, my brother. For this reason, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to your duty, yet I would rather appeal to you on the basis of love. And I, Paul, do this as an old man, and now also as a prisoner in Christ Jesus. I am appealing to you for my child Onesimus, whose father I have become during my imprisonment. Formerly I was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, that is my own heart, back to you. I wanted to keep him with me, so that he might be of service to you, to me in your place, during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I preferred to do nothing without your consent, in order that your good deed might be voluntary and not something forced. Perhaps this is the reason he was separated from you for a while, so that he might have come back him forever. So that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, am writing this in my own hand. I will repay it. I say nothing about your owing me, even your own self. Yes, brother, let me have this benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident in your obedience, I am writing to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke. Now large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and said to them, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not first sit down and estimate the cost, or see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going out to wage war against another king, will not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000? If he cannot, then while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for the terms of peace. So therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Let us pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So good morning. I am super happy to be back with you again this morning for a second week in a row. It's a pleasure to visit with you while your pastor is away, and I'm looking forward to his coming back next Sunday. So this morning, I'd like to just take a few moments to speak with you on the topic of praising God in the midst of the storm. And certainly on the news this week, we've been hearing about a hurricane, Dorian, who was in the Bahamas and causing a need for help, devastation, and reminding us that when things happen in our world, whether it's an actual storm like a hurricane, or whether it's the internal storms of our spiritual life, there's oftentimes a need for us to praise God right in the midst of something that feels scary and uncertain and really overwhelming. When we can praise God in the midst of that, we truly are transformed and back in touch with the heart of God. So today, let's take a look first at our reading from the Gospel, the book of Luke, where Jesus is telling us the fearsome cost of being one of his disciples or one of his followers. He is saying that in the end, we will need to have developed allegiance to only one person above all others, and that's God. And this allegiance will have to rise over our closest family members and friends, our closest ties in our work life, our colleagues, any attachment that we've made here on earth, anything we've loved, anything that's been precious to us, we will eventually let go of, and we will have to express allegiance for that which is above all else, which is God, the divine. That's really hard to get accustomed to because we love
our close people. We love things about our lives. We are made to attach. But when we realize how we can put God first and have God be the first attachment above all of our other loves, then we're able to love more freely and more openly. And it actually creates a better bond of unity between us and our loved ones. This concept is a biblical concept called the first love, meaning that God loved us first before we were ever invited or requested to love God back. And this is good news for us because we don't have to do it alone. God loved us first before we started loving God. It's expressed really well in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, where St. Paul is talking about how God doesn't depend on our righteousness to love us. So we don't have to earn God's love. We don't have to do anything specific in order to be loved by God. Even when we're at our worst, even when we're making mistakes, God's love is so comprehensive that it prevails over anything we could possibly do or not do. So God has such great love for us that God demonstrated God's own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So that gift of Jesus' death on the cross at Calvary and then his resurrection to new life 3 days later is so powerful that it overcomes our sin and overcomes our death. And we're able to stand fully washed, fully forgiven, fully cleansed, just stand because of the blood of Christ. So now when God looks upon us, God sees how beautiful we are, how perfect we are, and how we're made in the divine image, created in the image of Christ. That's what God sees when God looks at us. Billy Graham is an expert at explaining this in simple terms. So listen to this quote of how he explains this concept of first love. That God gave all God had, his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, because he valued us so highly, even when we did not value him. And since God thought this much of us, shouldn't we show that we value God by putting God first in all we do, in our family, our business life, our spiritual life? The actual value of an object is that which is placed upon it by the owner or the buyer. God has shown the value that God places on our life by sending God's Son to redeem us. That's pretty easy to understand when he puts it so simply, that God loves each of us so much that it doesn't depend on us, it depends on God's grace. We are saved by God's grace alone. So what that allows us to do is to freely not worry about things as much anymore and daily be able to make a choice to live in God, to stand in God. And today in Deuteronomy, Moses clearly sets out that choice for us. Moses says, Israelite people, you have a choice, either life and prosperity on the one hand, or death and adversity on the other hand. Choose life. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying God, and holding fast to God. Moses wants them to be able to constantly make the right choice, the choice that's going to allow them to love God, obey God, and hold fast to God, even in adverse circumstances. Every day we try our best to do that, to make the choice, to always choose God and God's righteousness. And just thinking of how many times I failed at that this past week in my teaching over at Lang Middle School. Boy, it's tough to continually choose life every moment and not give in to negativity or fear. So when we do choose to the right choice, the loving choice. We are responding to God in a positive way and putting God first above anything that comes from our sinful nature. And when we do that, we're setting the stage for our world to be empowered and made better, and for our descendants to be able to continue making this positive choice for God. One thing that helps us to continually choose God over the negativity that so pervades our world and that's all around us as an option is when we are faced with something negative, like our fear of a hurricane or some other fear, we can remember that God resides in the praises of God's people. So when we have a choice and we're leaning one way or the other, wanting to choose life and prosperity, one way to access that choice, especially if we're in a bad mood or discouraged or can't find God easily on that particular day, is to just begin praising. If we just say some simple praises of God, it opens the door to gratitude and thanksgiving. And once we're in the space of gratitude and thanksgiving, our praises roll more freely through our hearts and minds. And then we can actually realize God's presence and make the choice for life and prosperity. So, one thing I've learned over the last 7 years as I've been attending an African-American church here in town, Second Baptist Church, the historic church, kitty corner from Walgreens in downtown Columbia, I've learned that simple statements of gratitude oftentimes open the door to a prayer of praise. So in that church, I've oftentimes heard people beginning their prayers with something very, very, very clear and true for all humanity. Thank you, God, for waking me up this morning to the beauty of a new day. Thank you that we're alive. Thank you that we're able to get out of bed and stretch our limbs. Thank you that we had the mobility to come here this morning into the house of God to be able to praise and worship God together. Thank you for this gathered community of faith in this place. Thank you that here in this country, we don't have to hide our praises in our prayers. We're able to express our faith openly. Thanks be to God for that freedom. Thank you for those who died so that we might have that freedom. Thank you that here in this place, we access God's goodness together. All of these thanksgivings flow from that one simple statement, "Thank you, God, for opening my eyes this morning to a new day. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." All those thanksgivings flow out of that one simple statement. And as we continue our thanksgivings, then the mind shifts and we're able to start praising, not for anything here that's taking place on earth, but just praising God for who God is. Just God alone, all by God's self, without any human involvement. So listen to the words of the Psalms. This is a quote from Psalm 57, verses 7 through 11. The psalmist is praising God just for the sheer, simple pleasure of connecting with God for who God is. "My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make music. Awake, my soul. I will awaken to the dawn. I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the peoples. For great is your love, reaching to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth." So can you hear how in that one quote from Scripture, the psalmist went from starting out talking about the human heart, how his or her own heart is steadfast, and ended up the passage by just saying, "Let your glory be over all the earth." That's what happens when we praise. Our heart is transformed. And so it happened earlier in this worship service, the song that Colin introduced, that holy, holy song that we sang in a round. It was so beautiful how each side was listening to the other and responding, and then the two sides singing together. And the praise that resulted from the congregation made it sound like we have two choirs, right? One on this side over here and one right back there in the corner. It sounded like a choir over there. So here in this place, we've already experienced a miracle of God's goodness this morning just by praising. And that is what the choice for God really entails. That choosing to praise God and to make God manifest in some way can happen even in the most dire of circumstances, so that God's glory is made known to others through us, through the priesthood of all believers. So I have seen that, I've witnessed that phenomenon just this week in the eye of the storm, so to speak. I watched a video on TV, on the internet, about a Red Cross worker who actually traveled down to the Bahamas this week to help conduct the Red Cross efforts in the wake of Hurricane Dorian. And this particular beautiful lady was interviewed and telling how, yes, the Red Cross is there helping. They're giving, first and foremost, clean water, which she said is the most important at the beginning of the recovery effort, but then also the food that's needed, the shelter that's needed, the medicine, follow-up medical care. And she went on to list other humanitarian needs that are being fulfilled. However, she made note that not only is the Red Cross caring for these humanitarian issues that are so important, the daily life things like food and water and shelter and clothing, but she said, we are also focusing on the emotional and mental parts of the recuperation from this deadly storm, because it's in our interest now to try to restore emotional safety. And they've created a new program called Restoring Family Links that specifically is for trying to reunite families that have been separated. So in a storm, in a natural disaster, if somebody has lost a loved one and they're not sure where they are, or they're having trouble getting in touch with someone, they can now contact the Red Cross and open a case, and then the Red Cross will be helping them to search for the person and connecting people who are both searching and linking people back together so that the emotional, mental, and spiritual needs are being addressed at the same time as the physical needs. That's so wonderful to have both components. So when we are in the midst of a storm like Hurricane Dorian or any other storm that might come our way in our spiritual life, we can remember that just like Psalm 1 says, we can stay firmly planted like a tree, just keeping our roots down in the ground next to the stream of water of God's love, bearing fruit in due season with leaves that do not wither. And everything we do shall prosper. This is a teaching that comes directly from Psalm 1. Happy are those who have not walked in the counsel of the wicked, nor lingered in the way of sinners, nor sat in the seats of the scornful. Their delight is in the law of the Lord, and they meditate on God's teaching day and night. So if we're in the habit of being like a tree planted by a stream of water and drinking from that clear, cool stream every day, which is our praise, that God has promised through the Psalms that God will abide in the praises of God's people. So God actually lives inside your praise. And that's why your praise is so powerful. And those who are faced with adversity, if they can remember to just access that gratitude and praise when the adversity begins to happen, it will open up a space of calm in the midst of the storm. Regardless of what the outcome is for the person or the family members affected, there's a way to access God's goodness in the midst of that adversity. It's one of the most beautiful promises of our religion. So thinking about this has reminded me this week of a story about a cellist. He actually was a classically trained musician, a very fine musician who lived in Sarajevo. And when war broke out on his street, in his neighborhood, there was panic that set in that day around him. And there were gunshots going back and forth, and everybody was scared. People were running from here to there, wondering how to handle this new and dangerous and scary event in the life of their community. And somehow the cellist had the presence of mind to take his cello out into the middle of the street and set down a chair. And he began playing the beautiful music that had made him so happy in the days of his training and performing. How he had the presence of mind to do that when he could have easily given in to fear of gunshots around him, I'll never know. But I believe that it probably was due to his training. And something in his training trained him to be able to access a place of peace, a place of serenity, a place of security, a place of love, a place of joy that was so strong, so powerful, that on that day, in that moment, he was able to choose life and prosperity, even when there were people right around him, very close, who were choosing death and adversity. He was not overcome by it. He chose to stay steadfast in God. And so I encourage us to develop those habits of prayer and habits of praise that will allow us to be able to stay strong in the Lord at all times. Amen.
Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.